This is America Weekend. I'm Mike Bennett. Supermodel Beverly Johnson is out with her memoir, The Face That Changed It All.
Hello, Mike.
We have your beautiful book.
Thank you very much.
Any book with Beverly Johnson on the front cover and the back cover can't be all bad.
It's most certainly a page turner, I'll tell you that much.
Well, usually your covers were chosen by other people. Did you have a chance to choose these cover photos yourself?
I did. As a matter of fact, a friend of mine did the photograph, Adil Berisha, and I wanted that Vogue cover on the back of the book. And Vogue and Condé Nast let me have it for a small price.
A small price. It's a perfect picture to be on your book.
It's a recap of my childhood in the 70s and 80s. I mean, we could only do 250 pages, so I'm 60 years old, so you're going to have to wait for the second half in a little while, in a couple of years. But, yeah, it's quite a page-turner. It's, about my humble beginnings, the ugly duckling to the swan. But then it gets into, this kind of roller coaster ride I went on, really being totally unprepared for being a small-town girl from Buffalo, New York. And, and all of the people that I've met, from Elizabeth Taylor to Michael Jackson to Warren Beatty to, and it's, and so I tell my story. I choose the stories that I think were very meaningful to me and that, changed me in some way in my life. And hopefully everyone will enjoy them as much as I enjoyed sharing them with. Oh, you don't know how many times that Frances Stein, she was the stylist on the editor on the shoot. She must have tied that scarf 100 times. I mean, she twisted this way and that way. I mean, everything is so, precise and the precision. And, and Francesco Scavullo, he's no longer with us. And the makeup artist and the hair and it. I'll never forget that day. I talk about it in detail in the book about how it came about, and then. It's every mother's dream to be on the cover of Vogue. And then when I realized I was the first woman of color on the cover and then what that really meant, I had to grow up really fast. And it was a huge responsibility for a 22-year-old.
And you mentioned Bill Cosby in the book, right, Beverly?
This story was written in 2013. I started writing my memoirs. And this was supposed to be my big reveal about this encounter with Cosby. I did not know that the editor was going to call me and say they did not want to put that chapter in the book. There was too much legal liability at the time. And then when 2014 in December came along and these women were coming out with these stories that was very similar to mine, although I wasn't raped, I felt very fortunate that I wasn't raped. And also I felt that it was, I just had to tell my story, which I did in Vanity Fair. And then the editor called back and said, we want the chapter. So that, to me, is indicative of what's been going on all along. We tried to tell our stories, but nobody was listening and nobody wanted it. So fortunately, it's only one chapter in the book. It's an important chapter, but, it's a book about my childhood in the 70s and 80s. And there were, things that happened and went on and those decades that are, for me, more important than the Cosby chapter. Yeah, it's not easy. That's why people say, I don't want anything. I did it because of my conscience and my principles. It's not an easy thing to do. Everybody wants to be liked. Nobody wants to be criticized and judged. And that's another reason why I spoke up. I saw these women out there being re-victimized all over again because I knew it was true because it had happened to me. I mean, I wasn't raped, but it happened to me. So, I mean, nobody, grows up and say, I didn't want this to be part of my legacy. I'm the first African-American grace to cover Vogue magazine. Oh, and by the way, she was drugged by Cosby. Who wants that? So, it was a matter of duty. But what's happened is we've opened up this conversation about the rape culture in America. And he was the lightning rod for that conversation. And now that makes it all good.
So what's life like for you now, Beverly? Are you still modeling?
Life is wonderful. Yeah, if they gave gave me the money, I would, but I can't lose the weight. No, life is wonderful. I'm a businesswoman. I have a line of hair extensions. They're talking about the movie for this, for the book. Another a reality show. You know, I did one on the Oprah Winfrey Network, Beverly's Full House. Or I have three grandchildren, a four-year-old, a two-year-old, a one-year-old. Life is great. Life is great. Going on a book tour with the book, The Face That Changed It All, and, you know, meeting people that have been fans and supporters of mine for decades. So I'm having a great time.
Yeah, you get to see the country, right? You go all over the place.
Yeah, you know, I went all over the place when I modeled, but basically, you know, you modeled and you went back to the hotel. This time I'm going to have, you know, my eyes open and really and take in everything. Going to Europe and France and London, sharing my life with everyone. But I got a lot to say.
Well, thank you so much. All the best to you and good luck with the book.
All right. Thank you so much.
With supermodel Beverly Johnson, I'm Mike Bennett, and you are listening to America Weekend.
Think Green. Harrison with you. We recently looked at ice-panicked walruses, but compared to the polar bear, they have it easy. Polar bears are among the most ice-dependent of all. A new 23-year study reported by Julia Whitty found that Hudson Bay polar bears have declined along with the ice more than 20% in 20 years. Polar bears are so desperate for food that they're actually turning to cannibalism. So desperately hungry are they in a zone once a snowy white frozen hunting habitat, perfect for their white fur to hide in, that current ice melting means not only no food, but no ice to climb onto to keep from drowning. Remember, what we do here affects them there. From the Greeniverse.
Think Green with Harrison at thinkgreenradio.com.
If you're an inventor who would like to attempt to have your idea or invention patented and submitted to industry, call InventHelp. They have free information for you. Call 1-800-405-9878. That's 1-800-405-9878.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
He was the top enforcer for the Broad Street Bullies, helping the Flyers win two Stanley Cups. He led the league in penalty minutes four times, and fans can still watch his epic battles on YouTube.
Oh, Schultz is hammering Dunn with that right hand.
So where is Dave Schultz now? Dave could be dropping you off at a Philadelphia area airport. The Hammer owns Dave Schultz Champion Limousine. Dave speaks with kids, delivering a message he calls Put Bullying on Ice. He co-authored a book about his career called The Hammer, and he once had a local hit with a song called The Penalty Box.
Baby, how long will you keep me in the penalty box?
I wonder if Dave takes requests. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Tired of high cable bills? Disable the cable with MyTV. With packages as low as $19.99 for four rooms, you can't go wrong. Call now, 888-759-MYTV.